Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Amen. This morning, I'd like to introduce you to a man named Dr. Ambrose Baber. It was Sunday morning of March 8, 1846. Dr. Baber was a founding member of this congregation. He was senior warden at its founding. He lived in this house directly across the street from the church. And on Sunday morning, March 8th, he made a house call to one of his patients, a Mr. Gerald. Shortly before his visit, Baber had written a prescription for Gerald, which was filled at Payne's drugstore. The druggist, believing that he detected an error in the prescription, filled it nevertheless, but warned the patient to consult his physician before taking it. And so as Baber arrived at Mr. Gerald's house, Mr. Gerald asked about him, "Is this safe to take?" Baber was so convinced of the prescription that he poured a dose into a tumbler and drank it without hesitation. Somebody sees where this is going. At once he remarked, "There's not enough sugar in it," and requested a lump. Before it could be handed to him, Baber made a feeble effort to loosen his tie and open his vest and died. Correctly discerning between death and life is a matter of life and death. Baber, as a physician, was sure that the prescription he had written would bring life. But what he was convinced was life was actually poison. It was death. We too are not good at discerning what gives us life and what gives us death. We often equate what we desire with things that bring us life. I've told you this story before, I think, but a relative of mine who used to drink a 2 liter of soda every day. A 2 liter of soda brings joy and refreshment and energy for a very short period of time, but it is certainly not life. We say, follow your heart, do you. That'll bring you life. But so often, it doesn't. We make bad choices. This inability to choose properly between death and life goes back to the very beginning. In Genesis 3, we read, "So when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." If only there is an objective way of knowing what brought us life and what brought us death, then we could know which was which and choose appropriately. Ancient Israel was faced with the same dilemma. How could they differentiate between life and death? God had saved Israel from slavery in Egypt. He'd led them through the wilderness, and now, at the end of Deuteronomy, they're about to enter into the promised land. Moses has grown old and will not be entering the promised land with them. So he goes back and repeats that everything God had instructed their parents years earlier. He goes back and repeats the laws and the regulations and instructions that were given on the Mount Sinai. And we know this repetition of God's instruction as the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is one long sermon. And it outlines two paths that the people could take. God tells his people that they can either choose life or they can choose death, and outlines what each of them looks like. Life is loving and obeying him as God. living under his command. Death is loving and obeying other gods. Yet God's instructions in the Old Testament can seem complex, confusing, and difficult to live out. We may be tempted to minimize them or to ignore them. Sometimes we look to Jesus, thinking that his law of love will get us off the hook. Granted, God's instructions in the New Testament are more straightforward to our modern ears, but they're definitely more demanding. As we just read, murder isn't the problem. The sin is anger. Adultery isn't the problem. The sin is lust. And there's no such thing as going overboard when it comes to eliminating sin from our lives. Why is it that whether it be in the Old Testament or the New, that God has things to say about how we live our lives? As the Wednesday night catechesis kids will tell you, the reason God gives us his instructions is not because he likes telling people what to do, but because he wants us to prosper and to flourish. What he's telling us to do will bring us life. God says so in Deuteronomy 30, and he says as much in John 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Well, now we've been properly educated, and that solves our problems. We now know the difference between life and death. Now we won't foolishly choose death over life. We know the difference between the two. The bad news is that ignorance is not our only problem. A comedy bit that some of you may recognize imagines an inquisitioner asking the question, cake or death? We as humanity choose death over cake over and over and over again. We're addicted to sin. The addict knows that their addiction brings death, but they're powerless to do otherwise. They're not choosing death out of ignorance, they're choosing death out of desire. Given the option of death or life, we will always choose death. And the more we choose death, the more we're inclined to it. Death is easier. It's the path of least resistance. It feels good in the moment. Yet the psalmist in today's reading speaks of the shame he experiences when he chooses life over death. Solomon in the Proverbs puts it this way, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. It makes us sick. Our collect for today echoes this bad news. In our weakness, we can do nothing without you. At Christ Church Catechesis, the kids have a song that we often sing as part of our time of confession. The main line in the song says, "We all mess up, it's sad but true. But that's what human beings do." We need to learn to be able to discern between death and life, but we also need the ability to choose life. We must be freed from our addiction to death. And how do we go about doing this? As we read in the collect, we pray, "Give us the help of your grace." We need outside intervention. We're too far gone in our death addiction to do anything for ourselves. We need grace. Just like someone suffering from an opioid overdose needs a naloxone injection, we need outside intervention. We need an antidote to counteract the death that we've filled ourselves with. We need an infusion of life. What does this grace and life look like? It looks like Jesus. John, in his first letter, writes, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Going back to that song, "We all mess up, it's sad but true, that's what human beings do." The answer to that, though, is so tell it to Jesus. He loves you. Where have we chosen death this week? Where have we chosen death this morning? Whether through negligence, through weakness, or through our own deliberate fault, choosing death will never result in life. Jesus knows that we should know better than to choose death. He knows that in ourselves we are unable to choose life. He knows that we need salvation from our addiction to death. He knows that we need life, and because of his love for us, he was willing to do something about it. He was willing to take our death upon himself that we might have his life. He was willing to fill us with his Holy Spirit that we may live and serve him in newness of life to the glory of his name. Today, as we confess those times when we've chosen death, we give our death over to Christ. Today, as we experience his spiritual presence in the bread and the wine, we receive Christ's life as our own. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.